Hey, Whore Hive, welcome back to another episode, guys, of Horrible Decisions. We were planning on going dark this week because, goddamn, can y'all believe it's been only about a week? We have been going through so much. I appreciate all of the kind words. Clearly, I am a little better now. I have been out protesting here in New York City, and I just want to give shout outs to everyone who has done their part. For those of you who have been out protesting, for those of you who have donated, for those of you voting and telling your peers to vote, I just want to thank you all. Of course, y'all know we talk a lot about sex and just a whole bunch of raunchiness, and right now we just kind of felt that How do we do that? How do we do that right now? How do we get through the laughs and the jokes and all of these things? And so Weezy and I decided that for this week's episode, we would compile just some previous conversations over the last 3.5 years that we have had regarding our experience and trauma with police brutality, with racism, with interracial dating, with our white listeners and their white privilege coming to us about certain topics, and also even a conversation we had on our Patreon regarding the use of the N-word within the Latino community. As you guys know, this fight is not anything new. From the 60s to the 70s, for centuries and centuries prior to now, we have been fighting the same fight. And we wanted to let you guys know that outside of fighting for the comfortability and making everyone within the sex space in the Black community more comfortable, that we have brought many topics to the forefront. And I just wanted to kind of resurface and relive some of these moments that Weezy and I have shared on this platform, with bringing certain injustices and certain topics to light once again during this time. Again, I want to give an RIP as well as a fight for justice for George Floyd, Ahmaud Arbery, and most importantly, in my eyes and for this specific platform, Breonna Taylor, as having a platform specifically focused, I would say, for Black women. I think that this has brought a hard time for all of us, in seeing that we are all standing strong in the fight for Black men, but kind of, you know, a little fear in if we will get the same fight as Black women. Sandra Bland, there's a lot of just cases reopening up that involve Black women, and I do feel like Black women are not kind of given the same voice, and that's what this platform does. We want to continue to give voices to Black women, and again, I just want to thank you guys for all of your kind words. This next clip that you are about to hear goes into what I mentioned during my statement, in the PTSD that I feel like I have experienced over the last few years with witnessing Black men being taken at the hands of police officers. And so here it is, me talking about my experience in London and how I was able to realize that I am fucking affected by this shit. Again, go ahead and listen. And I don't want to say I hope you enjoy, but let's go ahead and relive these moments over the past years of Horrible Decisions. So I wanted to, I guess, share a story because this opened up something to me. So while I was in London, I did London and Paris in a weekend because I'm fucking crazy. I was drunk the whole time. But first off, I felt how rich I was too, because, bitch, we spent probably $400 in food just on the Friday between food and drinks.
Oh, easy.
And I don't even eat a lot. That was fucking crumpets and fucking dumplings and dim sum and shit.
Dim sum?
Yeah, we went to the Shard. It's a restaurant called Hutong on the top of the Shard.
beautiful, was drinking porn star martinis the whole time.
Bitch, I love me a porn star.
So fucking good. Then
I love just drinking my shit, man.
So good.
Then y'all don't know what a porn star is, by the way.
It's so good.
It's I don't know why it's like only in Europe. I've never been offered a porn star in the States.
Here, yeah. You can make it. I asked the ingredients.
Sure.
It's a ton.
It's pomegranate. It's super sweet.
Mm-mm.
Passion fruit. Sorry.
Passion fruit.
Passion fruit is sitting in there. It's super juicy. And then you get a shot of champagne next to it.
Prosecco. Is that champagne?
It's maybe Prosecco. Where you was at, it was Prosecco, bitch. Mine was champagne,
bitch. It was Prosecco, bitch. You just ain't know. You saw the little bubblies and got excited. That's what that shit was. No, but so anyways, we went to Sketch, and then we had dinner reservations at Novikov, and my homegirl, Adriana, shout out to her, she had us on the guest list because she was like, she ain't really want to be around niggas. She wanted to meet new niggas. So she was like, I got us on the guest list. He'll sit us at the table. And I'm like, bitch, I don't do promoter tables even in the States. But okay, I'm in another country. I'll do it. So instead of catching an Uber to the club, one of the dudes that really like her right now was like, yo, I'll pick y'all up and drop y'all off at the club. And in her eyes, she's like, well, now, bitch, we ain't got to pay for an Uber. Seemed real innocent, right?
Okay.
Wrong. He picks us up from the fucking dinner. We go like, I guess I'll share the whole story. But I'll make it short. We drive about 15 minutes away, and we notice we're still in the car. The club is only about 5 minutes around the corner type shit. So we're like, what direction are we going in? Because my friend is not recognizing the direction we're going in.
Oh, my God.
This nigga's like...
My house?
Nah, I gotta go pick something up.
No!
My nigga! I hopped out of the car so quick. I said, ma'am, we're calling an Uber because what you're not going to do is pick anything up while I'm in the car with you. And they was Nigerians, no shade, but you either a businessman or you a scammer or a street nigga. Whatever you are, you going to pick something up. You ain't having it in the car with me because I know what it is. You out of goddamn weed and you need to go pick it up. But it's now to me, that's a run. I'm not coming with you on your runs. So I hop out the car and he's like, nah, baby girl, I wouldn't do that to you. Man, get back in. Okay, I'll take y'all to the club. We get around the corner from the club.
Oh, no. That's the sound of the police.
We get pulled over, but it's a van. 5 police jump out of the fucking van.
Because niggas.
Literally. Knock on the window.
Jesus.
Ask him to pull it down. He pulls it down. He's being very, like, respectable. Hi, officer. What's the problem? Because we did absolutely nothing wrong.
Sorry.
So he rolls it down, and he's like, where y'all going tonight? Da-da-da-da-da. Can I ask all of you guys to step out of the car, please? We're literally on, and I'm looking at my homegirl like, bitch, I told you to get out. You see, if you would have listened to me, bitch, and I'm looking at my homegirl like, bitch, what the fuck is going on? Next thing I know, she's a German citizen. I'm a U.S. citizen. They take both of my passport, her ID card. And I'm like, what you need? Like, here it is. I can give you my information. What do you need my card for? She takes it. She's like, oh, as long as we don't find anything in the vehicle, we'll give it back. They have 2 police officers, all doors open, trunk open, flashlight, looking under everything. And I'm just looking at her and
must
I'm like.
Must have been the tag. They knew them niggas.
It's the tag. Adrian, she told me that. That's what I said. That tag is marked. And whether it's for drugs or whatever, they looking to get that nigga. Mercedes, nice car. He's telling it's because I'm black. His window's tinted. They ain't see you as black from behind, bitch. So I'm literally looking at Adrian and I said, I don't think you understand. Mind you, my friend is much younger than me. This is her first time experiencing this.
How old is she?
She's 22.
That shit's happened to me before.
So I'm looking at her and I'm just like, you don't understand, Adriana. If they find as little as a blunt in that car, we are all going to jail. So I'm sitting here talking to the other officer, and I'm just like, listen, I don't even know these motherfuckers. I just landed today. You can look at the passports.
Contemplate, nigga.
Oh, I was already like, bro, I don't know these people. Like, she just met him a month ago, and it's because he drove by and liked her. Like, bro, we all know these niggas like that. And I'm literally, like, trying to say, I don't... Then I was like, they technically are Uber drivers.
So you don't know him. So you're just in the car with somebody you don't know?
That's pretty much, bitch. And I was like, they technically are Uber drivers. Then I almost got away. He was like, oh, is this an Uber driver? I said, technically, but we ain't call them on the Uber app. So they wasn't trying to buy that. So they're still looking. So this is where a few things happened to me. And this is what I wanted to share with the listeners. So He starts getting the other, mind you, there's two niggas, one in the van. I don't know. This is another reason why I got scared. As we're all pulled out, the driver is already handcuffed. And I'm just looking like, bitch, why? He's in handcuffs. So as he's in handcuffs, they're questioning us. He's trying to say sorry to her, but now he's starting to get slick with the cops. And this is where I realized, and I didn't realize how much I had been affected, that I have PTSD from what's going on here in the States. And as he's starting to get snappy with the officer, I'm yelling at him at this point. Like, do exactly what he says. Stop with the smart mouth. Stop getting slick. Give him whatever he wants. Let's wait till the car is searched. Stop talking to him like that. Like, I'm literally telling
him. And they have guns in the UK.
Yeah, so I'm literally.
By the way, I only mentioned that because, like, in France, I know you went to France.
Yeah, oh, they were big rifles, too,
they're
bitch.
Not in France. No? Yellow jackets is a big protesting thing going on, but they shoot out these metal kind of balls. They're not, they can't kill you, but they'll, like, maybe knock off something. But in London, they do have guns. So, I'm pretty sure, right?
So he's, I mean, I was just,
Google that.
I was thinking.
I'm pretty sure they do.
At this point, I was already coming up with how I was going to have my locked up abroad episode. I was already thinking.
You like content?
I was already.
I was.
Do you know that's what the fuck my friend said as soon as I fucking told her in the car? Mind you, I'm going to let me get back to the story so I could tell y'all how I was crying like a pussy hoe. So finally, they find nothing in the car. We get our IDs back. I said, hey, Jonna, we walk into the club, ho. I said,
oh, British have no guns.
No guns.
So I'm sorry. I apologize. That means that's why he was talking slick.
He listen, maybe that's why he was talking slick.
I thought that the UK was one of the only.
They're tight on guns.
Having guns.
It's like having a gun over there.
Okay. That's why they're always like six people taking someone out.
Well, yeah,
sorry.
There was six cops, well, in this car at once. So we're all getting checked. There's two checking the car. There's two questioning.
So that's
the
why
other
he
guy.
Was talking like
He's
that.
He's talking slick to the one officer and the other officer is with us. So finally, they come back and they're like, okay, nothing's been found in the car. They give us our passport and ID back. And we start walking away. I'm like, Adriana, we finna motherfucking walk to the club. So we walk back. They let him go as well. They uncuff him, and he comes running to us at the end of the sidewalk, trying to apologize, saying he's sorry. And all I do is burst into tears. And I say, back home, they kill y'all. And that's all I kept saying because he was so, like, getting so snappy with him, and I just did not want to be a part of it. Like, I'm about to cry now. They were like, you're so pussy, but I literally was like, I didn't realize how much seeing all these black men die from the police affected me because I don't put myself in those situations. And to be in that situation, like, I literally had to tell my mom, I said, I think I need therapy now. Like, I didn't realize that me seeing the videos on Instagram, me reading the news articles, and seeing how many of our black men die, being in that situation right there, I was just like, I was scared for him. I was scared for me because I know they looked at, we're black women. So I know they wanted all of us gone. And I didn't realize how it affected me. So before I go to cry, I go to say, this is why I realize when we talk about dealing with hood niggas, street niggas, scammers, this is why I know I don't put myself in those positions.
But the truth is, Manny, the sad thing about it is, it ain't going to take a hood nigga to die.
No, it's not going to take a hood nigga to die. However, my friend just got a new job. I said, just because we were in the car with them, this would have affected your new job. I said, do you think if I would have just called my job and said, oh, by the way, I'm in jail right now for drugs because that's what they have me in here under.
Right.
Wait till I get out. No, I would have lost my job. And so even it's something that, and this is a tip to you ladies, who if you're into men who may sell narcotics or carry around large loads of narcotics or anything that could cause him to go to jail.
Don't be a ride or die, bitch.
Don't get in the car.
Re-listening back to that, might I just add that it doesn't even matter at this point if you are riding with anybody with drugs. At this point, my tip is to just be safe when you walk out of your door. We have seen black men taken from us for selling cigarettes, for being accused of using a counterfeit $10 bill. We have seen people lose their lives for sitting in their living room. So even with that experience, and of course, me feeling as though we were being pulled over for a drug-related offense, because that's what they were searching for in the vehicle, literally just to know you can be pulled over for driving while black. So again, this is all a lot. We know it's a lot. And this next clip you're about to hear actually comes from a place of frustration. We have this podcast is black as fuck for a reason. We have not shied away from that. Again, shout out to our 27 white listeners, but this show is for us. And so in the next clip, you are about to hear Weezy kind of read for filth. Someone who felt offended that we made this platform for us. And you can kind of hear pretty much both of our sentiments on our thoughts on that.
A shout out to one of our favorite podcasts, The Read.
Okay.
Name names. We never really go off on anybody. And Mandy replied to this girl, and she is very lucky. I'm not going to say her name, but I'm just going to try to. All right. I'm so irritated because I just fucking remembered about this. So this girl writes in on a picture of Lisa Spliffson, who came. And if you guys got to hear that episode, she's a fin dom who Michelle Hope describes very radical. She's got a lot of opinions. She used the word white supremacy a lot and had a lot of anger. She's been violated in a lot of ways. So she told her story. Anyway, here is the comment. That
please don't. Are you gonna read it all? Okay,
it's
pretty bad, guys.
It's bad.
Okay, so listen to it.
And this bitch tried it.
And then y'all can come up with your own opinion.
Oh, I would love y'all to write.
I think that Weezy is overreacting.
Think I'm overreacting?
I responded in a fine way. Like
you responded the way that you should have, nicely. And
I'm not overreacting. So now I'm PC.
No, you did what you should have done. We should be taking. Listen.
Listen to the comment, y'all.
I will tell you if.
This episode.
Listen to the comment.
Thank you. Can I get my black card back? Because Mandy about to fucking lose her. Talking about I'm overreacting. Bitch, listen to this.
Okay.
This about episode. To get your nipple card back with that fucking top.
Oh, well, I don't know.
I'm mad at you.
Coming out. Right.
Let them show. Can let them glow.
Right. It's very hot in here, which is why my tits are out. I had a sweatshirt on. All right,
read it.
This episode made me sick to my stomach. Forget the ignorance and prejudice that was pouring out of it. As a, all caps, white child sexual harassment victim, I'm telling you this. Take your explanation of child abuse with white supremacy, wrap it in a gift paper. That didn't make sense. And put it on the shelf. Never open again. I don't think you realize you're denying women to their own experience. Women of all colors, body shamed by men of all colors. The oppression of women stems largely, which she's right on this, from men's desire for power and control. The same need which throughout history has driven men to try to conquer and subjugate other groups, nations, and oppress other classes and groups in their own society drives them to dominate and oppress women. Since men feel the need to gain as much power and control as they can steal away power and control from women. They deny women the right to make decisions so that they can make it for them, leave women unable to direct their own lives so that they can do it for them.
This is really long, guys. This is why
she was right
this fast.
On that part. Since and biological
this is the
processes,
part that pissed you off, right? Do-do-do. All right, go ahead.
Since biological processes like sex, menstruation, breastfeeding, and even pregnancy were disgusting, women felt themselves disgusted too. And that brings me to the sexual power. That brings them to the sexual power women have over men. Men resent that feeling. It's a sign of weakness, and women are to blame as they're the one to produce it. And that means men can't complete the domination over women. They may be able to force women to cover their bodies and faces like slaves, but any woman that's capable of arousing powerful and uncontrollable sexual impulses inside them at any moment. I got your call. I got that you call your podcast a black podcast, but you are so exclusive. It hurts me on a socioeconomic level. Mandy replied to her and said, everyone has their own experiences. We've had many different people on the show. Sorry if Lisa's experience is different from your own. Perhaps we'll have someone on the show that shares your views. I just want to tell you something. I was read it and I got irritated and I thought about the word socioeconomic. And how has this impacted your money or your job or your livelihood? Because let's take it for a second. You love to capitalize that you were white. So on a socioeconomic level, how the fuck did you get offended economically? I mean, really,
when black podcasts are the minority, black people are the minority, well, what the fuck are you? How are you really affected by hearing a black girl tell her fucking struggle? And then here you are with these white fucking tears about how you're left out. How the fuck did Lisa feel her whole fucking life, or every fucking black girl that goes through shit, even especially if it's with a white man, and someone saying, oh, hey, you know, it's okay, get over it, but now we gotta cater to your motherfucking white ass on our black ass podcast, because God forbid we have some black bitch on here talking shit about somebody that looks like your daddy. No, the fuck you didn't. And if it's such a problem, you should have never have ever have followed our black asses, half black asses, whatever the fuck you want to say. You shouldn't have even indulged. Even bring it up. You sound dumb. I know it's a black podcast, but I'm hurt. Bitch, shut the fuck up. Do you know how many black girls have been heard? Do you know how many black girls were feeling Lisa? Not to mention how I was embarrassed that we had black men on here talking about Spanish women and how they're better. Do you know how many black girls were hurting? And where the fuck were you? You weren't offended because your hair is good too? Fuck you. Matter of fact, Monica, Marika, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you. Most of the girls that are findoms are white. Do you know how many black ones are there? Not a fucking lot. Not a fucking lot. She's fetishized for being black, being big, being whatever. And here you are being hurt on a socioeconomic level. What does that even fucking mean? Did this podcast really take you away from work for the day because you were so fucked up? Anything that you listen to is catered towards you, is catered to your demographic. And one fucking black girl, I swear to God, like, it almost
blows
me.
She was this mad. Yeah.
This is a podcast for people of color.
Michelle is looking like,
and if I left
shit,
out a
what
few
did I
white
walk
girls,
into?
I'm sorry, because I feel like we've always, like, we ride for any fucking woman. But here you are having to tear this bitch, us, a new asshole, for having the nerve to bring another black bitch on our black ass podcast. Bitch, you're going to have to go. And if it fucking sacrifices me to
she
have
said,
a shitty
throw the whole
review,
listener away. That's
fuck
what
her.
She said.
I don't
throw
care.
The whole listener away. We just don't.
Because you know what? I told Mandy when I started this show that I didn't want it to be a black podcast
she
because I wanted it to be
inclusive. Of everyone.
But fuck it. If that's what we had to do, that's what we had to do. Because if you can't sit and listen to a black girl tell her feelings, then bitch, you got to go.
You gotta throw the whole person away.
Fuck it. Leave your one-star review. Suck my dick. You can kiss my ass. I don't even know Lisa. I never spoke to her again, but I can tell you this. I get it. And bitch, a lot of other white people that listen to it got it. And no one sat there and said, oh my God, she's talking so much shit about white people. I can't stand this. And I'm so offended. Bitch, maybe she was offended when you sat there and said you were hurt on a socioeconomic level. Bitch, how the fuck did it affect you?
Ooh. I know you are so happy you got that shit out.
I was.
Whew.
And that's all I had to say.
And that was the read for today. Shout out to Crystal and Kid Fury. This was her read, and I think that they would approve of this message, actually.
Because I meant it. And mind you, this is coming from someone with a white-ass daddy that fucks white men, works with white people, has friends that are white. I'm offended on a socioeconomic fucking level, bitch. You took me out my goddamn job. I might lose money from our show on an economic level from talking shit.
That's
like going
to come out of her 50%
portion.
But you
had all the fucking nerve to do that shit on our goddamn Instagram. And you're lucky, bitch, that Mandy wrote your ass back.
Right. That's why I'm not
you're
taking
lucky.
That loss out of my money. No, I'm just...
Anyway, I'm done.
Anyways, guys, if this is your first time listening, I promise this doesn't happen often. She's just really angry about a comment that we received from one of our listeners. And I think it's good that we express this. We show you guys so much love, and we appreciate all the love that you guys have given us. However, even on the last episode, we just talked about how people just be judging us. This was definitely one of the comments that we got back that, you know, got a reaction.
Do you guys have anything to say about that? Do you think I'm still overreacting?
You said your points. I didn't feel that emotionally connected. But before, we're not going to introduce her, I guess. Our guest, Michelle Hope, has something to say about that. And
it's warm in here. And I think that what we need to remember is that there is a long history of white feminists who are very racist. Long history.
Fair.
And I think that what I'm hearing, I don't know who this person is. I just walked into this mess. I do love Lisa. I met her at Afropunk 1 year. I thought she was the baddest bitch ever.
She's so bad.
Don't get me wrong. Like, she goes hard.
She goes so hard, but for a reason.
But we ride for women, people, period, man.
That go hard.
Unless you're an Instagram model, but we're not going to get into that.
But I will say this.
They went through problems.
Well, yeah. I mean, we all go through problems, but I do believe, my mom is white, and she is a feminist and mm-hmm. she is a lesbian and she has been in the fight for a long time before I was even here. She was a part of the movement. But even I have had to have come to Jesus moments with my mama. Like, pause, mama, you a white woman. Like,
right.
You're you not don't walk down the street with people looking at you like, what are you? Or you don't walk into a store and people follow you around for the same time for reasons like, oh, you might rob us. And, you know, it was interesting when my mother and I, and I love my mother, and when my mother and I had that come to Jesus moment, you know, it was hard for her to hear, you know, from her grown child. But then, you know, she left New York. She came to visit me from Indiana. She came to visit me and she left and she went home. She processed and she was like, wow, you're right.
Right.
She was like, you know, and when
it's
I was growing,
experience.
It's totally a different experience. And when I say my mother has always been a part of the movement, my mom has sat on boards that really fought for women's equity. And she, when I was growing up, was on a board of a women's arts and music festival that happened in Indiana. I always call it like Lilith Fair before there was Lilith. And when she was a part of that, after we had this kind of come to Jesus moment, and then she thought about it, we had a conversation and she was like, you know, Michelle, at that time when you were little, because I would go to these festivals because they had kids camp and it was super weird because it was like astro travel and like dream catcher type vision boarding shit before that was possible.
Right. Some shit she would like.
Yeah. And she said, you know, the black women always said they needed their own kind of section in the space and we would give them pushback. Like, why? We're all fighting the same fight. And after we had that come to Jesus moment, she was like, Michelle, you taught me that I was being discriminatory. We should have.
That's awesome.
Created that own space.
Hopefully she even understands where Wheezy's frustration came from. Instead of hearing, you know, the anger in Wheezy's voice, she actually sits back and realizes that she's not sitting here shaming her or anything like that.
I was
but
really
you
hurt.
Have to understand
because
that there's
the
a different
the way that she felt like Lisa singled, you know, people out or whatever, like she singled herself out to say, I'm white and you did this to
me. I'm white, right.
Dude, people are going to have so many different experiences. Women that go through so many traumatic experiences with different men, you have to appreciate each person's story.
For sure.
Listen, don't get me wrong. There's things I've heard that I'm like, damn, that's too much on different podcasts and stuff like that. But you can't shit on that person for it. And this is exactly why I don't want to do sexual harassment episodes sometimes, because you never know someone's journey. And we didn't know Lisa would go there, and I'm grateful that she did. Because
how did you not know Lisa was gonna go there? I mean,
I thought Lisa was gonna talk about some FinDom shit.
Oh, hell
I did not.
No. Hell no.
No,
because a part of Lisa's
dominance
is stemming from her experience, and I'm all for that. But you know, I'm just saying, and I love Lisa.
The other voice you heard in that episode was Michelle Hope. Shout out to her. She actually joined me for the Breonna Taylor vigil on 125th and Adam Clayton Powell in Harlem this past weekend. And I just want to thank her for everything she's done. But just listening to this conversation was, I want to say triggering, but went into why my statement last week was so hard to get over. My mom even just called. And we've been having just the struggle in how we are communicating right now. As you guys know, I'm black as hell, but I was raised by a white mother. And there's just been some difficulty in that. I do want to shout out also to the listeners who have reached out to me in my DMs, for those who are not black, but who are raising black children, and also the confusion that they're currently facing. And I talked to my mom literally yesterday, and she was like, you know, I'm okay with hearing that you hate white people. I know that you love me, but she's like, she's hurt by how white people are. And she hates that she's white sometimes, because here she is raising three strong black women. Her partner is black. Her nieces and nephews are black. And she has gone out and protested in Orlando. And I'm grateful for that. But like I said, as far as those white listeners and those non-black people who are raising black children, the only thing I can say as far as advice is to educate yourself. And more than anything, I think what I've taken away from this is checking your own. Check your mothers, your uncles, your brothers, your sisters, those individuals who are not Black, check them when they are wrong. I think that as Black people, we have tried and tried and tried and tried again to tell y'all what the fuck y'all are doing wrong. And we've shouted at the top of our lungs and y'all just don't hear us. So when our white allies and our Latina allies and our people of color who are not Black allies are asking us what the hell they can do, I would say check your kind. Check them when they are wrong and let them know that they are wrong. And be willing to stand there and lose a coworker, lose a friend, because they ain't worth it. If they not fighting the same fight as you, they ain't meant to be a part of us. The next clip I'm about to play, many of you may not have heard. It is a clip from a bonus episode with Brianda of the Super Trip Talk podcast. And we get into a pretty deep conversation regarding colorism and racism in the Latino community and whether we allow the Latino community a pass on saying the N-word. We also get into the conversation regarding colorism and what Weezy and I have faced as biracial women having a Black-ass podcast and identifying as Black women. We get into that conversation as well. So buckle up, turn up the volume, and get ready for this clip.
The Dominican look. Like, when they're Black, like the dudes, I feel like they got a little extra curl in the... There's something about the curl pattern in their hair.
Dude, we share an island with Haiti. Come on. Like, it's just, if you saw my family, it is the most diverse looking racial group.
Oh, of course.
Like, my grandfather, my sister is Black passing. Black passing. They used to think we were like friends every time we'd go out because we don't look alike, but she looks Black passing. My cousins, my grandfather's Black.
That's interesting you said Black passing.
You know, there's white passing.
But why not just say she's Black?
It's for like a different... Oh, actually, this is the whore hive, so they would understand. But for my listeners, I say Black passing because they don't really... They're not hip with those terms yet.
What are your listeners? I've never heard Black passing.
I use it. It's like an
equivalent... I've heard white passing.
No, I've heard Black passing from like Middle Eastern people when they reference Middle Eastern people. But I've never heard it for Latinos.
They're just people who say that Latinos aren't Black. And I just think that's a very limited way of thinking. Like, Latinos are one of the most racially diverse groups of people. Like, Latinos are Black. Latinos are also white. You know what I mean? It's like a very odd statement to say, we're starting hot.
Where do you think your listeners come from? That they wouldn't get that.
In the psychedelic community, there are mostly white.
Because I was saying, like, bitch, 2020. They fucking know. Like, that there's sensitive times and how people want to like be like, that's interesting.
I would just say Black. I say Black. Right. And also my sister considers herself Black. She gets treated like a Black person. She works at Boston Children's Hospital and they be treating her like not the best. You know what I mean?
Right.
And it fucking sucks. Especially as my sister. And like, to be honest with you, when you were Dominican, she was older than me and she always got treated worse because I was a little lighter. Right? And that was shit that I saw as a kid. Like, even my mom. My mom's a fucking cunt sometimes. I think about the way she beat her. I didn't get that treatment. You know? Or the way my aunts would talk to my sister versus how they talk to me.
Wow, in your own family. I mean, colorism is real within your family.
It's pervasive.
But, I mean, to think just to be hurtful. Like, I've seen conversations or, like, heard them within Latinos talking about how maybe their family would... Whether it's pressing their hair or telling them it's going to be hard to find someone or bleaching, but I've never heard about like beating on them. Fuck.
Oh my God. Like you wouldn't believe. I would do the same shit as a kid that my sister would do and my sister would get hit for it.
Shit.
These are things that I'm talking about in therapy now. I'm super close with my sister who I said her birthday's today and I canceled my date today to go to her because she was like, man, I'm feeling a kind of way. But I feel like I owe my own sister kind of reparations for the amount of shit that I wasn't able to provide her as a kid, like empathy or like seeing that she was going through a tougher time. She was also overweight. Imagine that. Like, it was just a lot. And so, yeah, she's a Black woman, period. If she gets treated like that out. So, no entiendo. Like, that's, but the thing that really pisses me off was as a kid recounting memories and, thinking about memories that I have that she doesn't and she was there for. Like, I was recently talking about, like, a family reunion we had when we were, like, 10.
Uh-huh.
And she remembers she didn't get fed. What? She didn't get fed at this party. And I was talking to her about this sancocho that we had that was like amazing. And she was like, oh yeah, they didn't feed me.
You know, this is awkward. Cause so we've had the conversation about, like the uncomfortability of even Latinos saying the N word. And so even having the conversation with you, I guess this goes into why I don't like when they say it. Because specifically growing up in Orlando and being friends, like my friends growing up, majority of them, even if they were black, they were either Jamaican or Haitian, just because of the side of town I grew up on. But my best friends were also Colombian and Mexican. And in terms of how they treated black people is why I don't want to give Latinos of any origin the right to use that word, because they have been just as oppressive or racist towards black people as white people have.
So I agree with you. Aren't black people also that way with other black people? Colorism and shit?
That's true. But what she's saying, though,
yeah, but as
I
far
think
as,
it's a different...
Yeah.
I've had Latino friends I've watched treat black people crazy, too. Like, but we're from Florida.
Wild.
Where are you from?
Boston.
Yeah, okay. So we're from Florida.
Florida,
so.
You've got a lot more, like, in schools... I honestly don't even see
our pep
people.
Rallies were segregated. Everyone would bring their fucking flags. So I went to Oak Ridge High School. I went to Walker Middle School. Like, I lived on Oak Ridge, on the west side of town. And then I went to high school in Pine Hills. So in Florida, like, we would have pep rallies. And during pep rallies, literally, you would have your Jamaicans in a section, your Haitians in a section, your Mexicans, your Puerto Ricans, and everyone would bring their flags. But we would segregate ourselves as teenagers based on what countries like we were from.
Bro, that and shit is wild. We're Puerto Ricans and Dominicans?
Bro, and my school specifically was like all of the schools that I went to were over 90% black. Like black or Latina. I didn't go to any schools really with any white kids except for my freshman year. I got into a magnet program for TV production. But me being around even my friends' families growing up, I remember them blaming me for their daughters dating black men. I remember, yes, my friend was Colombian growing up, and Weezy, may actually meet some of them at the Orlando show. But I just remember, like, them blaming me for them dating black men. I remember, certain music or people that we liked, them being like using the N-word in a bad way, like to where they literally, to me, Latinos have oppressed and shown hatred towards black people the same way I've seen white people do.
So I don't agree all Latinos can't
not,
say
not all. I never say all.
Well, you said Latinos shouldn't use the word, right. But there
I don't think a lot of them.
I have an issue with the Afro-Latina and Latino blanket. The only close friend that I have that says that is Sharonis. He's Afro-Latino. He'll say he's Afro-Latino. Mm-hmm. But I just really feel like there's this other dude I know that talks about how he's Afro-Latino. And I feel like he does it so he can say nigga. I know I'm being extra.
It's a feeling. I feel like if there's a weight when you say it and like, oh no, this is like when Mero says the N-word. I don't know. I understand. He's Dominican. He is our Dominican patriarch.
So he's black as shit to me. Mero's black as fuck.
Okay, he's Latino.
And Dominican as shit. So I was going to say both.
He's not black?
No, he's Dominican.
Well, he is black.
He's so Dominican. Actually,
what is it going to be? What is it, guys?
Wait, Mero's the black
one. I'll tell you what. Jesus is the black.
Oh, Jesus,
Mero, here's why. Mero is what you would say is black passing. Right?
Okay.
But there are a lot of Afro-Latino people, which I would even, and this is just me looking at you, not even knowing you. I would even call you Afro-Latino.
Lo soy.
But also, don't think you're black passing. So I feel like nigga can't be used. Is that weird?
I say, if there was a meter, the metric is the way people say it. I can tell when you weren't raised in this, you weren't grandfathered in this. Like when I can tell when people are just saying it to acclimate or like to like using it. Like on some Billie Eilish type shit. Mm-hmm. Some appropriating shit. It's a weight. Of course, when you talk about it, it's hard to contextualize because it's a feeling.
I just feel like Afro-Latino doesn't give you a nigga pass. I don't believe that. But I believe that like Afro-Latino people, like when you have black skin as an Afro-Latino, I feel like that's different. I know it's fucked up because I'm mixed. You know what I'm saying? And I don't have black skin. But at the end of the day,
I feel like this is a new thing that I've never seen before that's come about since, like, I would say since I turned 25, suddenly I started seeing this
you
thing
guys
happen.
Just moved up here, though. This Dominicans are all around here.
No, the Afro-Latino verbiage.
Oh, okay.
The Afro-Latino verbiage. Yeah, now, because, I mean, we're from Florida. So, yes, New York is probably on a larger scale, too, as far as Dominicans. But no one, like, there was no just white and black in any
question
of,
for the
of
both
me growing
of
up.
Can Afro-Latinos say the N-word?
No.
Ma'am? I think... So it's a no for me.
It's a no
However,
for me.
I do have a... There's a Meryl thing for me. She just said is Meryl... Meryl is...
Oh, no, because I didn't know which one, if it was Jesus or Meryl. I don't know which one
Meryl
is.
Do they not appear to both be black men to you, though?
No, one looks Hispanic, one looks black.
Oh, Meryl looked black to me. I'm sorry, Meryl was black.
No, she's right. He looks mestizo. He looks mixed. He's not, Jesus is clearly the black one if you see both of them.
I guess you're right. That's how I view it. One looks Spanish,
is it because he's
black.
Attained this huge success and now, like, does that give him credence and credibility to say the N-word? Because that's classist. That's not fair.
That's an interesting point of view because I guess that's where it's like subjectivity because I just said, oh, if you're a Latino living in black skin, then I feel like you can. When I looked at Meryl, I thought he was black.
But see, here's the thing to me.
What?
Your sister.
Yeah.
Even though she is in the skin of an Afro-Latina and would, I guess, identify, like, view to us as someone who's black, to me, knowing that she grew up in a family
that was racist
or presented.
Oh, my sister says the N-word, right.
But that's what I'm saying. But to me, like, even that's like with my friend now, like, to me, I joke all the time and I tell her she's white passing. I'd be like, bro, don't say the N-word on the phone with me because I know the people that you grew up around are racist. So to me, being that you grew up around people who have that mentality, to me, that takes away the fact that you could use that N-word even more because the people around you showcase that racism, which is why we don't let white people say the word.
Right.
There's a level of oppression behind it. And to me, if you were oppressed in that space and you grew up and the people that you love and around you are oppressing you because of the color of your skin and you being black presenting, I have a problem with you even using that word.
I mean, at the end of the day.
Are you still friends with that person?
Who?
The person
that. Oh, when we talk on the phone, I'll be like, I'll hang up on you. Like, don't
say
the N-word.
Okay, good.
Me and her go, we battle all
the time.
I think
I know who you're talking about, and I feel uncomfortable.
Every time she says it. And so when we're talking, I'll be like, bro, you can't say it, bro.
But only because she's. I don't know.
She's light skinned.
What is Afro-Latina?
You look white. You white Latino, bruh.
I have a really interesting.
Yeah, you are. Now that's white. And the Dominicans would think that's white.
Right. So, bro, don't say the N word. And so
you want to get the extra candy, the extra food.
It's crazy that you brought this conversation because a lot. So we have such a diverse listenership in the Whore Hive. Of course,
do you know what I'm about to say? That
no.
You said diverse listenership.
No.
Oh, I'm about to bring up some shit. That.
I would just say, as far as like
from a listener,
the diverse listenership in our Whore Hive is appreciated. But also, real quick, I know we're talking about Latinos right now, but I recently got a DM from a white girl, and it was just like, I think on one of my stories from the podcast, mm-hmm. and she asked if white people would feel comfortable coming to our show. She wanted to come
to our
show.
I've had that too.
And I'm just like, absolutely. Like, but just know, like, we make fun of white people all the time. Like, it's just kind of
an I want you to hold this because you guys are both going to love this. I actually have already talked about this on an episode that's come out with Eddie, but
I love him.
Me too.
That episode was fucking
He's
hysterical.
So fun. He was so funny when we mentioned science. Like, Eddie is so touch and go because I mentioned something about science and he goes, Manny doesn't believe in science? Are you serious? And then he goes, but isn't she smart? he's great. And I like that he fits, but he ain't gotta like, appreciate people like that don't have to like maneuver and put the voice on. But anyway, mm-hmm. I read this with Eddie because he's Peruvian. He's Latino, but I really want to read this again.
Okay.
So Mandy has never heard this. I was going to do it on an episode with Mandy, but then I was like, fuck it. I'll do it with Eddie because he's Latino. You guys have already heard this, but this is even better because you're Latino. So this is from a patron. Who is top tier, wanted to let me know that before she, bitch, I ain't gonna front. I went in on the last episode about my feelings on this. I called two Latino friends of mine too. Shit, there's no signal in here. It's not loading. But just to tell you what's going on, Mandy and I made a comment on an episode 56, Valentine's or Galentine's,
yes.
Where I told her I was on a cruise and that I said, oh, now that we're popping –
I don't know when black people look at me if it's a horrible decision. I remember you saying that. Or a black thing. And then Mandy said, horrible decisions is a black thing. And I said, oh, you're right. That's true. Here is the listener DM.
I don't know.
Hello, Weezy. I know this may not get seen, but this has been bothering me for quite some time. I understand the motive behind your show's outline is for the awareness in a black community, but I do get offended that I've paid $15 a month to hear about how horrible decisions is made for black women when I'm a mixed ethnic Latino. Relate to your show as well. I've always been able to sideswipe the comments about Latino women, etc. I do appreciate the love for Afro-Latino, but from Latinos from all areas on the spectrum can relate to you. I don't understand how you can just always make horrible decisions a black thing when your audience is so broad, especially when I know how y'all are going to feel when I keep reading. Just let me get it out. Especially when no matter the type of Latina we may be, we're still minorities. Yes, our struggles aren't the same, but we still deal with one on the regular. Black women have overcame slavery, prejudice, segregation, and fixation for years, but so have we. A lot of our mothers and fathers left their countries with no stability, strength, or education just to make a better world for us. I didn't say we had it bad, but we have similar struggles. And the show relates to women. I feel like the show is a woman's show who don't have a comfort or space to speak on this stuff, because how do I ask my Mexican grandmother about sucking dick? But it's too taboo to speak sexuality in a lot of cultures and societies. I just hope this comes across to you guys and understand that it's bothersome when I've invested in you guys and I'm placed in a category where I don't feel relatable. Where it doesn't feel relatable. I'm going to include the clip that bothered me. Please be aware of our love. She also mentioned that she did this with another patron. I'm going to wrap up what I said because you guys heard it last week. But I thought about a lot what I said to her, and I was like, you know what? It isn't a woman show. That's true, because we have many male patrons. But it is a black thing. She's just welcomed in the space. And then I told her, no one white has ever written me this. And they know this is a black show. No one white has ever written me this. The Latinas that come to the show, and I joke all the time and say, Maria is in the audience, they know it's a black ass fucking show. And right. No one has ever fucking said this. And what really pissed me off about what she said is, I invested in it and you're making it a black thing. My nigga, I went to see Desus and Mero about 5 times, probably spent over a rack. And more than that, over flying to their shit. And when Desus goes on a Dominican fucking rant, and I don't know what he's saying, I'm sitting there appreciating it and not saying, I invested in this and you didn't speak English. Because I know that's his shit. Right. I know when I do Latino shit, it's their shit. I supported Akash at a Desi show, an Indian comedy show. I, to be honest with you, half of the jokes, there was many Indians there, I didn't really get. But I was like, fuck it. Like, he's funny. I'm fucking with it. Like, right. I want to support your shit. How dare she, and I'm getting more angry of it as the weeks go on, say that she was mad that she invested in it because it's not an inclusive thing. All these motherfucking white people on our Patreon that ain't said a fucking word. And I know out of the two of us, I've probably been way more out there with white people. And I'm the one I'm the white guy fucker that says shit about white people.
Right.
Like,
I just don't like, she said that black women overcame slavery, prejudice, fetishism. If you look at what's going on just even right now in society, black women are still fighting struggles that outside of slavery, all of those other, as far as like the war on wage gaps, what black women feeling still the fetishism of a lot of other cultures. There's still things that we have not overcome.
I don't think that I need to even say that black women go through more than Latina, because I'm going to stop right there. That's why it's funny, because with the episode with the doctor where you said, no, well, I'm talking about black women. I said, I'm talking about Latina women too. When they're with the rate that they're dying in the hospitals, it's literally a 1% difference. I'm not saying they don't go through struggles, but we're not Latina chicks. So right. We're black girls talking about a black experience.
I don't have the Latina experience. For sure. No one in my family speaks Spanish.
I don't even want to say black girls go through more shit. I'm going to tell you right now, black and Latinos go. I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to speak to someone's experience. Black women on average, yes, they do, but I'm not going to speak to hers. None of us have been through slavery and me or you or her. So I don't want to speak to that. I'm not going to do this stupid fucking, oh, black girls go through more shit than the Latino girls. I think that's fucking dumb. Right. I think what should be said is, you're talking to two girls that have grown up in a black community, mm-hmm. have a black parent, identify as black women, and then mad that it's not I think it's a woman thing. Like, fuck you. It's not. And I didn't say the fuck you shit to her at first, but now I'm starting to kind of like get more angry, because I know that
don't
like doing these shows, even Texas, which is so many Latinos, no one gave me that energy at all. And I be talking shit. No one gives me that energy at all. You know who wants to get fake mad about a Latino accent? Black girls that just fucking don't like me. White girls that don't fucking like me. Them Latina chicks be laughing at my DM talking about how I sound like their fucking grandma. She's really picking some shit that I don't even get. You know how many fucking shows there are that like have Latinos that host them? Go listen to that. I don't listen to white sex podcasts because I don't relate.
Right.
Same. You know what I'm saying? I listen to white comedy podcasts because I have that kind of humor and I enjoy it. You're listening to this black sex pod because you feel like there's a comfortability in it that's sticking with you. I can't understand how you could even say you can't invest in it when it's still a black woman business. Not to mention, you also said, oh, we're all minorities, so you can't do a minority business. I have to be more fucking inclusive to you. Like, that's not fair. Like, literally made this fucking space. And initially when I had this podcast idea and I came to Mandy, I didn't even tell her I wanted it to be a black thing. The second episode, it was already a black fucking thing, period. There was no going around it. So I'm not about to go back because the audience got bigger now and say, okay, no, never mind. It's not a black thing anymore. Because right. You know what? There's a lot of black things that fucking blow up and people become millionaires. So I'm not going to now shy away from it and say it's a woman thing. Not when niggas be in our DMs. Not when niggas are holding us down and also investing, much like you. Fucking shout out to Siggy. Every fucking show.
I was
about
to say, I want to shout out Siggy.
Rich.
The amount of men who have come to our meet and greet and have put their partners on is just, I wouldn't say as tremendous as the women listeners, but it's
so
it,
not
but,
a woman
but,
thing.
But it goes to show that men are listening to this mm-hmm. and bringing this to their homeboys, to their partners, to their cousins, to their friends. So I do want to shout out, to our male listeners because I think that they are just as important, to our growth as the women are. And so yes, I know we've had conversations about feminism and women support and all that thing. And I know that we do talk about race a lot on this show as well, but I know that there has been a strong focus in making this a safe space for people of color. But again, Weezy and I have a black experience. We identify as black women. So outside of you guys maybe not feeling inclusive in all of the conversations, I not only want to apologize if you're offended, but also say, sorry, don't give a fuck. It is what it is.
The only thing I'll apologize for is ever saying a fucking slur. Whether it was the R word, and I want to apologize like for the M word. I know you don't want to apologize for it, but to me, if you're a small person or if you're someone that has like mentally challenged people in your family and stuff like that, and I've ever said something like that, I'd apologize for that offense. I'm not going to fucking apologize for making a joke on here. I say niggas ain't shit. So if I want to fucking say Latino niggas ain't shit, I'm grouping in all the niggas. I say white niggas ain't shit. I fucking give people, I know for a fact, equal trolling. Okay? So I'm sorry.
Can I ask you guys a question?
Tell me how you felt about that response as a Latino.
So a couple things. This such a small percentage of – this is a very – she's an anomaly. This is a fan who identifies with a lot of what you guys have to say, and something like triggered her that sparked this message. You know, I wouldn't give that too much weight. I wouldn't even get mad at it because I just I see that this is someone who's maybe a little lost in her own space, I think, and she's projecting one. I have a question, though, just – it popped into my head, and I'm sure some of your listeners have the question too, but they don't have the privilege of being in front of you. Do you guys ever get hate from black women? Like black women telling you guys that y'all are not
all
black?
The time. Well, that more so in the beginning of the show. Not so much now.
Not now?
But in the beginning of the show, they said that we didn't have enough dark-skinned guests on the show.
But that was true.
They also said...
That wasn't bullshit. That was true.
I disagree. They also said that, our experience because of how we look and the color of our skin means that we haven't gone through some of the black troubles that they feel like, can we really relate to? Like, yeah, so we've had that question from, I think more so
and
in the beginning
valid
of the show.
Things to say. That's the one thing I'll say. What she's saying is different from those comments. Saying that if we've made blanket statements for black people, that's a fucking thing that they can say. The only thing I don't agree with is people are picking choosy over who can say nigga. Mm-mm. And I've had a few people like, y'all say it too much.
This is an entitled, she's an entitled fan. And by the way, the more you guys grow, that shit's gonna happen more. You know, like, let's just say you guys, por ejemplo, if you guys are on a network, when you guys are on a network, I see this going major. There are gonna be certain things like executives being like, could we expand the way we speak about certain things so that we do include more minorities? Would you guys ever change your script or would you keep it?
Not on the podcast. On TV, I would. I don't know if Mandy feels the same, but
I come from a TV film background, and I know for a fact that that would be the first
but
thing.
I mean, not, I
know
I'm,
for
but a fact. I mean, that I'm not even gonna lie. Like, I, my first conversation, we are possibly talking and wanting to expand the podcast into a TV format. And just because I think we've grown an audience with being exactly who we are, mm-hmm. I think one of my first questions was, how many dicks, fucks, pussies, niggas are we gonna have that we can say? Like, I still wanna be very true to us and not wash it down for how we speak, what our lingo is, what our demographic is. But I for sure would open it up to having Indians come on and express their right. experience. I 100%.
I gotta be honest
I'm
with
actually
you guys.
Down for that for TV versus the podcast.
For sure.
Why is
so there was a lot. There was a lot in that conversation. Again, if you guys are interested in hearing more, you can join us for more discussions like this at patreon.com/horribledecisions. And before I leave you guys off with a final word from Wheezy, I do want to leave off by saying and telling you to say her name, Pamela Turner. Say her name, Sandra Bland. Say her name, Breonna Taylor. Say her name, Corinne Gaines. Say her name, Tatiana Jefferson. Say her name, Chantel Davis. And again, guys, continue to educate yourself and let's continue to fight for justice for all of those wrongfully taken from us. Just to let you know, guys, although you have heard my voice, this has been a collaborative effort between Wheezy and I, picking out these specific moments in horrible decisions. And I am going to leave you guys with Wheezy. She was just out of town, and we definitely, instead of not having an episode at all, we wanted to put this out. And so I am leaving you guys with Wheezy, and I want to thank you guys and everyone who has done their part in the Black Lives Matter movement and fighting for justice. So here goes Wheezy, guys. And again, thank you.
I want to thank you for getting to the end of this episode, because I understand that this could have been triggering for you. And honestly, there's a lot of podcasts I don't listen to if I feel like they're going to upset me. But I love you, and I'm happy you're here. And if you've been a long-time listener, I'm happy to know that you may have remembered those moments and been some of the ones to email us and tweet us and talk about your experiences too. Just want to say something before I let you go, if you don't mind. If you follow me on Instagram, you know I'm about my Black Power wall and probably know that I'm a fan of Malcolm X. And while a lot of people like to argue and say that he changed his life for the better, he still always believed by any means necessary that things needed to get done. And in regards to conversations that you may have, whether it be on social media or with someone you know or a colleague or someone even who's Black that says, oh yeah, but why not peaceful and talk about looting and rioting, even if you wouldn't have done it yourself, even if you're not the person that would break a window, we all need to understand that looting and rioting is war. And after war, people get what they want. War is for a purpose. No one just goes in and starts taking oil and money and fucking shit up because they felt like it and it was Tuesday. There's a reaction to something. And that's exactly what's happening in our lives. We're watching people who have been in the house for months, who've lost their jobs, who have no fucking money, watch Black men and women die in front of their face, on TV, on their Twitter, in their phones, in their hands, and seeing that and feeling angry and wanting to fuck shit up. And fucking shit up is how a lot of things get done. You may have heard me talk about when I was in Paris with scissors and how many riots and protests we saw and things on fire, setting people on fire, which is insane. But the French get what they want because their government's scared of them. And I think a lot of our issue has been that we don't press the government, that we fund enough. We're taxpaying citizens and got the nerve to beg men in uniform that we pay to not shoot us. That's insane. That's fucking crazy. And honestly, this is exactly why I wanted people to donate on behalf of bail bonds for protesting.
I'm not saying that it's right that the mom and pop shot got hit. Don't get me wrong. But I understand that soldiers die in war. I understand that things happen, that people get affected. And it's sad, but it's just anger and it's exhaustion. And we have to make sure that we're educating people about that when we are having these conversations, these tough conversations. Don't let anybody run over you about something you're passionate about, no matter who you are. If you are Black, if you are Latina, if you are white, if you're Asian, if you're brown, if you're Indian, whoever, and you are passionate about the things we are passionate about, make sure you can run those fucking circles around them when this gets going. Make sure you can do it. Just do your best to keep yourself in the know. That is the best thing we can do. We have it right in our hands, right where you're listening to this podcast, whether it be YouTube, whether it be fucking your phone, whatever. Please make sure, I implore you, to do your best to have high-level conversations about things that are affecting us for the rest of our lives. Congratulations to you for listening to a podcast like this where other people may not like the opinions. But we all know we're going to be on the right side of history 30 years from now. We talk to our kids and they look at pictures and ask us what the fuck was going on that week. And we knew we were a part of that. I want to personally thank you guys that helped me fundraise between some of our listeners and just an Instagram following that I have and Twitter. And we got to $12,600-something to go to protesting bonds. And it was amazing to see people band together like that. And I have a lot of faith in humanity in this moment. And maybe I'm naive to say that, but I really know that the world is starting to see how we've all been feeling. Next week, I'm looking forward to making you guys laugh again. I'm looking forward to figuring out who's making this outline. I'm looking forward to Mandy and I pressing a guest and laughing. I'm really excited for that because I want some normal back too. But the normal that I want back is what I used to have and more. I want things to change. I know you do too. I love you for listening. I love you for sticking through this end. And I just briefly again, much like I did on that Black Lives little thing last Sunday, I just want to take 30 seconds to where we breathe through this. We start a great day. We let a lot of heavy weight off our shoulders. And we come back to center. So I'm going to take 30 seconds. If you're driving, I'm sorry. Or if you're out in public, my bad. But if you can, close your eyes. And let's take a deep breath through our nose. Out through your mouth. In through your nose. Out through your mouth. I'm just doing a quick 30-second meditation. I want you to feel it right in the front of your forehead. Set a good intention for the day. Set something you're going to teach yourself today, something that'll make you feel good. In through your nose, out through your mouth. By no means am I a yogi psychic guru, but I know what to do and I need to chill the fuck out. I love you guys. I can't wait to see you next week. Peace.